In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're going to start there. There's a long list of names, and it's very, very easy to skip the beginnings of Chronicles because it's just one name after another name after another name. But they're in the midst of those names, in the family of Judah, there's a brief mention of a man named Jabez. And we learn that his name means one who causes pain. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, starting with verse 9, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him his request. What kind of pain that his mother had in mind, really don't know. The translator of this particular translation assumes that it was talking about birth pains. But it was one. It basically means he who causes pain. Other side that, we don't know what was in her mind. But he's described as being more honorable than his brethren. Now in Jewish tradition, if you look through that, they claim that Jabez founded a famous line of doctors of law. The scribes that we read about in the New Testament, their statement is that that group was started by Jabez. And there might be possibilities, there is some support for that, because if you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, let's get my... See if I can get my slides to flip here. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55, it says, the families of scribes who lived at Jabez were the Terahites, the Shemahites, and the Sukkites, and there are Kenites who came from Hamath, and the father of the house was Rechab. So there's a whole town that was named Jabez. Now, whether that town was named after the Jabez that we see in 1 Chronicles 4 or not, don't know. But that's at least one tradition. What we want to look at, though, is what made Jabez so honorable? Because that's oftentimes a question. There's not much mentioned about him, other than the fact that he said a certain prayer. Now think about that. Now, how many people in their lives, how many people would like to be remembered for one particular prayer that you happen to say? That's what everybody remembers you about. But that's what we have with Jabez. Other than this one particular prayer, we don't know much about him. And probably it is the prayer that was mentioned that's why Jabez is called more honorable. It's what he prayed about. And we ought to look at it because God accepted his prayer. We ought to see what it is about Jabez's prayer that made it so outstanding, that in a long list of genealogy, he gets extra mention for his particular prayer. That prayer starts out, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, for most of us, Jabez's prayer seems very bold and very brash. His prayer, if you read through it, basically revolves entirely around himself. He asks for great favors from God. And sometimes we think, well, wait a minute. That's not the way we're supposed to approach things. But think about it. There are other characters in the Bible who have done similar type of things. Do you remember when Jacob wanted a blessing from God? He wrestled with an angel of God, demanding a blessing from him before he would release him. Take a look at Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32, starting with verse 24. Genesis 32, starting with verse 24, it says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And so he said, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' He said, 'Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him and said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it you ask my name?' And he blessed them there." Not many of us would be all that brash, all that bold, to actually try wrestling an angel of God so that you can get a blessing from him. In a lot of ways, it seems like the totally the wrong way to go about doing the business of asking a favor from God for happiness and for joy. But we have to understand that every good gift comes from God. How many of us really believe that? So many times people act as if good gifts come by random chance. But in James chapter 1, and in verse 17, James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows." Every good gift comes from God. And if we want blessings from God, if we want joy in our lives from God, we have to approach God for our blessings. The reason Jesus came to this earth was to bring us blessings by turning us from sin. Take a look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Acts chapter 3 verse 26. "For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways." God wants to bless us. And his blessings fall on those who are righteous. So Christ came to turn us from our sins. Blessings are not just gifts. They're life-changing benefits from God. And in Jesus, we have all spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." All spiritual blessings come from God. They're all there within Christ. And there is a promise to us in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 19, Philippians 4, verse 19. "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God will supply all that we need. When we look at Jabez's prayer, when he says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, back in 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez is praying for what God says he would give to his followers. He's not asking for something outside of God's will, but something that's within God's will. See, both Jabez and Jacob fully and sincerely believed that God would bless them. Remember what Jesus said, that we were to ask and we will receive. And Jabez did that. Jabez also then asked that his borders be enlarged. Now, Jabez is not asking necessarily for more territory. He's not asking necessarily that his land increase. At least not just that. He's asking God for more responsibility and more work as well. You don't take on more without having to give out more as well. So many people want to ask God for more of this world's wealth. What do you plan to do with it? Are you willing to take on the extra burden that comes with it? Sometimes we don't think about it. We just say, hey, I want the benefits, and forget about the fact that we have responsibilities as well. Take a look at Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, starting with verse 6, says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, so we can take nothing out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a grief. If we put money and wealth and things as number one priority in our lives, we're facing temptations that are going to draw us away. Sometimes we don't think about the other side of the problem. The rich face more temptation when we pray for more wealth. Are we willing to face those temptations? Would your face survive that extra? Would our faith survive what you're asking for? In that same chapter, down in verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be genuine and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of good foundation for the future, so that it may take hold of that which is life indeed. God does bless people with riches. What we got to watch out for is that's not the aim of our lives, but rather that we say that those things are an opportunity to do good for God and for our fellow man. We are then expected to work. The wealthy is expected to do extra for the extra things that they're given. We are expected to work so that we have enough to share with other people. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. That is what we are striving for, to have enough so that we can help other people as well. And when we have extras, we also give to God. Remember the command that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16? When we're told to give a part of our means to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, that as he may prosper, so that no collections may be made when I come. Our giving is based on as we prosper. So when we are blessed by God, we have extra things to do. Enlarging our borders can be more than just physical wealth, too, though, and physical responsibilities. For example, in John chapter 10, John 10 and verse 10, John chapter 10 and in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us an abundant life, to have lots, not lots of things, unless you want to talk about spiritual things. Jesus came so we might have enjoyment in life. That entrance into heaven, doing the will of God, that's abundantly supplied by our God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So when we're in the church and we want our borders increased, talking about taking on more spiritual responsibility as well. Doing more for other people. Doing more for our brethren. Doing more in our service to God. See, in Christ, then our spiritual borders are then enlarged. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In Christ, God gives us more than we can even ask for, more than we can even imagine. What do we plan to do with that? See, when Jabez prayed that his borders be increased, we can tell from the way God responded to that, Jabez was not just asking for money in his pocket. He was also asking for more responsibility, that he might do more with what God had presented to him. More responsibility, more work. You can't have more without expecting to put out more. Jabez goes on to pray that your hand might be with me, to strengthen me. Take a look again in Ephesians, this time backing up to verse 16. Ephesians 3, verse 16. He says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man. We are strengthened by God's Spirit within us. That's what Jabez was praying for. He wanted God's help. He wanted God's strength to be with him. Paul talks about that same thing in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We can, with God's help, do everything that God wants us to do. Peter mentions something similar in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Under God's hand, God takes care of us. We don't have the worries that most people do if we trust that God will take care of us. David prayed in Psalm 37. Psalms 37, and in verse 23. Psalm 37, starting with verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. That's the imagery that we have, that God's holding our hand. Kind of like little children when they first learn to walk and they sometimes stumble. They don't fall down because mom or dad's holding them up. They're talking about the same thing with us and God. God is holding us up so that if we do stumble, we don't hurt ourselves like we could. And again, here more is said than or implied than what is actually said. If we want God's help in what is aid, then we're saying that we're going to place our lives in God's hand. We're going to place our lives in His care. We volunteer to be God's servants, slaves to do God's will. See, are you willing to give that much of yourself to receive so much more from God? Jabez wanted God's help. I think Jabez understood that it wasn't just getting help with nothing in return. Jabez was willing to put himself in God's hands. And that's why he prayed that God would be there. And when we're in God's hands, then no one can remove us. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, John chapter 10 and in verse 28, says, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So I and the Father are one. Jesus holds us. God protects us. We can put ourselves out of God's hand, but if we put ourselves there, nothing can shake us out if we put our trust in God. Jabez goes on to say, oh, that you would keep me from harm, that it might not pain me. Now remember what Jabez's name was? He who causes pain. And Jabez is praying, oh, that I might not, depending on how you translate that, that I might not be pain, or that I might not cause pain. God watches over and cares for his people. Our Jabez is basically acknowledging that his request is spiritually dangerous. He is more open to harm from the enemy, and he needs protection and aid. He knows he's asking for more. He knows he's also putting himself in greater danger. He's saying, I need help to do these things. See, there was warnings in the Old Testament back in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, and starting with verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grow fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. There was a warning by Moses that when Israel got into the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, where everything was just perfect, everything was going perfectly well, they had all the things they ever needed, there's a tendency with people to stray off the truth, to be complacent, to think it was all because they did it. back in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and in verse 20. Deuteronomy 31, verse 20. So for when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they had eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. God says this is going to happen. It's the way mankind acts. It's not that God tempts us with evil. Rather, evil takes advantage of the blessings that God gives us. In fact, in James chapter 1, starting with verse 12. James chapter 1, starting with verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God does not bring evil upon people. He does not cause people to go into sin. He might make use of sinners to accomplish his will, but he doesn't put people there. But the blessings that we want from God, which we think we want so much, they also can put us in a path of greater temptation. We have to watch out for our desires, because that's what Satan uses against us. Even in Jesus' sample prayer that he gave the disciples in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 13 of Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus' prayer acknowledges, he urges his disciples to acknowledge, to ask that we don't get delivered into evil. It's not that God puts evil in front of us. But sometimes we got to be careful about what we ask for. And what we desire might put us in greater temptation. Yet God knows how to deliver us. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Too many people have been bluffed by Satan to think that they've gone too far into sin. There's times when sin overwhelms us. Sin takes us by surprise. We fall to a snare. It's so easy to say, oh, I give up. I'm just too sinful. God knows how to deliver the righteous. In fact, just earlier than that, Peter shows how God delivers the righteous. Think about how he saved Lot. In 2 Peter chapter 2, going back to verse 7, he says, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Lot wanted the richer lands to feed his flocks. But those richer lands came with a greater temptation. He held on to his righteousness according to God, though it vexed him day after day. God knew how to deliver him from the dangers that were there. Maybe not the way Lot would like to have been delivered, but he was delivered. Or the other example that's given even before that one, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. God delivered Noah from the evils of the world. That world was so evil that it said that basically the thoughts of mankind were on evil continually. Our world hasn't got that far yet, though sometimes we'd like to think that. Imagine living in a world like that and trying to hang on to righteousness. God can save us as well if we will but just ask for his help. And that's what Jabez is asking. Keep me from harm. There's danger in this world. There's difficulties. There's temptations that can pull us away. That should be a part of our prayers. Help me stay away from evil. And the point is, at the very end, it says, God granted him what he requested. As simple as that. As surprising as it might be to you. The man who, in a prayer that does nothing but talk about the things that he wants, God found that prayer acceptable. See, when we're praying to God, are we looking for God to bless us? In Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7, Matthew 7, and starting with verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God knows how to bless us. Are we seeking God's blessings? Are we looking to do greater work on his behalf? Then why not we think about imitating Jabez's prayer? Not necessarily a lesson that's designed to bring a person to Christ. But there's an opportunity here tonight, as we're gathered together, that if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf for whatever problems are in your life, then why don't you take advantage of the opportunity as we stand and sing the song that was selected.